at least in college basketball, when you look at, you know, an 18-year-old, 17-year-old, whatever it might be, coming out of high school, what stands out? Does FAU stand out? Although in a very nice location, you know, I would not mind moving to South Florida. Very nice location. Or does a team like, I don't know, let's say Duke, North Carolina, Indiana, Kentucky, I mean, the powers of the powers offering you and showing interest in you, that's where the mind of a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, you know, top 100 prospect is going to go. But then they go, don't get the playing time they expected, things don't work out, maybe not, you know, the coach, you know, not necessarily the way that you thought it was going to be, or even a coach gets fired. We see that happen at Power 5 programs all the time. And you want to transfer out. And then all of a sudden, your mind is opened up to these other programs that maybe recruited you from the beginning, other coaches that recruited you from the beginning. And you start to see the wealth of the opportunity of going to another college that you otherwise might not even have given the time of day when you were being recruited. It's leveling the playing field, in my opinion. How many non-conference upsets did we see of non-Power 5 mid-major schools going in, sometimes on the road, and beating Power 5 teams? That was unprecedented. And I think you see that a little bit more in this NCAA tournament. Furman takes down Virginia. That was a big upset. Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue. 16 on a one seed, the first time we've ever, or rather second time we've ever had that happen. Fairleigh Dickinson was, for the most part, you know, a bunch of guys from Division II basketball that came up with Tobin Anderson, who's now going to be the head coach at Iona, and then other transfers that came in. Haru Blygen from Garden City Community College. He transferred from Garden City off to Fairleigh Dickinson, playing for Tobin Anderson. So what I'm saying is there are opportunities for teams at the mid-major level who don't have as deep pockets, who don't have the facilities, the financial wherewithal to bring in some of these players, but they can still be a player in the recruiting game because of this open transfer portal and because of the NIL. I think we saw that clear as day in this NCAA tournament, and I think we're going to see that in the NCAA championship, because we're guaranteed to get at least one mid-major in the championship. Not at least, but we'll have one mid-major with FAU and San Diego State facing off against each other. So the point being here is, I kind of wrap up my portal talk in this conversation, is a lot of people want to point to the negatives. I'm going to point to the positives. You're seeing players being able to move. You're seeing players be able to market themselves, make money you know, they otherwise would have probably never been able to even touch, because you see a lot of college basketball players who are really high-level guys don't have the appeal in the NBA as far as a prospect like they might in college basketball. Marquise Noel, excellent example of this. You know, Marquise, he's on a good day, he's 5'8", right? So, you know, they got him listed at 5'7". One of the stars of March Madness this year. You don't think he's going to get a big-time look from some of these sponsorships and NIL guys? He is. He's going to get an excellent look because of the ability to market himself with the name, image, and likeness. That helps schools. That helps schools like K-State, who don't get the premier athletes. And I just want people to see that side of it as well, because I think you see these harsh headlines, you see a lot of beat writers kind of come down very hard on the transfer portal and the NIL. Coaches can leave. Coaches can leave in 1 year, and a player might be stuck with a coach or a coaching staff that, not that he doesn't necessarily like, he just wasn't recruited by, wasn't pitched by. Why can't players do that as well? That's where I'm at with this. I know COVID has really kind of twisted some things. You get that extra year of eligibility. We're going to see that start to lighten up, I think, a little bit here as those COVID-era players move out of college basketball. But my biggest takeaway here is the transfer portal is a good thing for college basketball. It's a good thing for parity, and it really allows intrigue across the league. It allows more and more teams to be players in the national tournament conversation, just like this year. Because we had a great Final Four last year. Villanova, North Carolina, Duke, and Kansas. I mean, that is blue blood as blue blood gets. And it was awesome. But I think this year is going to be just as fun. Even though there's viewership talk, even though there's conversations on, well, you can get a ticket for this much and, you know, a little bit cheaper. Good. I want more people to be able to go and be able to afford a Final Four ticket. It's an experience. It shouldn't be about how much the ticket costs to get in. Because, you know, last year with Coach K being his last postseason run there at Duke, that was going to be a conversation and ticket prices were much more inflated. Fine. Totally okay. But I just don't understand why we talk negatively about the Final Four as if people still won't watch it. People are going to watch the Final Four, and people are going to go to the games. I've just seen some of that kind of pop up and get twisted in with this transfer portal conversation. And I just wanted to kind of talk about that and bring that down a little bit. So we've talked so much about the transfer portal and about everything happening with college basketball right now, but we still have three more games to go. We've got a matchup of Final Four teams, and we've got a championship matchup to go, both on the men's and the women's side. And I want to talk to you right now about the Final Four, and I want to talk about the most intriguing player left in this tournament. But I do want to let you know this. She is not in Houston. She's in Dallas. It's Caitlin Clark at Iowa. I mean, my goodness, if you have not watched the women's tournament yet, if you have not seen Caitlin Clark play, please do. Tune in tonight, 8 p.m., Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes take on South Carolina in a battle that I think is going to be much better than what a lot of the opening lines are. I know it's a 10-plus point spread. That's just how dominant Aaliyah Boston has been in South Carolina this season. But anytime you can watch Caitlin Clark, and this may be your last opportunity to watch Caitlin Clark if they do in fact lose the college rank, 41 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, the first ever 40-point triple-double in the NCAA tournament, women's or men's. Incredible what she is doing for not just the game of basketball, but for the game of women's basketball. I think that's super important. Iowa's first Final Four since 1993. They win 97-83 over Louisville in the Elite Eight. I think they've got a good opportunity to surprise a lot of people. It's going to come down to tonight, you know, how does South Carolina work Iowa defensively? Do they take away everyone else around Caitlin Clark, or do they take away Caitlin Clark? Because Caitlin Clark is going to get her 30 points, right? The question on whether or not how Iowa can win this game is the support around her, and how does Caitlin Clark get them activated? That is what's going to stand out to me in this matchup. And I think if Caitlin Clark is able to activate her teammates, you get a 10-15 spot, you know, from other players, this is an opportunity for Iowa to make things very close against the undefeated South Carolina Gamecocks. Can't wait for that matchup. That's going to be at 8 p.m. Central Time projected, of course, because there is LSU and Virginia Tech right before. Nobody really talking about this LSU and Virginia Tech matchup. First time Virginia Tech has been in the Final Four. They haven't lost since January. And Louisiana State, LSU, Kim Mulkey, trying to be the lowest seed to ever win the women's tournament. This is unprecedented ground for both of these teams, really. When you talk about LSU with the seeding, there's only been two other teams before. North Carolina is in 1994, and Tennessee in 97 won as a three seed. So that's the opening there, and I think LSU and Virginia Tech will be a really fun matchup. LSU is actually a 1.5-point favorite last time I looked this morning. I'm going to roll with LSU, and I'm going to take Iowa in game two. And you really can't be upset, because either way, we're going to get a great championship matchup, whether we'll see LSU and Virginia Tech face off against South Carolina and Iowa. I cannot wait, and that starts tonight in Dallas, American Airlines Arena. It's typically where the Dallas Stars play and the Dallas Mavericks. It's going to be a great scene for the women's Final Four. Okay, let's transition over to the men's side, and let's talk about the men's Final Four. UConn, the absolute top dog and favorite here to win the whole thing. And yes, I said top dog in the Huskies. Yes, I know, I said that. They are the odds-on favorite to win at minus 125. Does FAU, San Diego State, have a shot? I think FAU's legit. I really do, and I think San Diego State's very good. They beat Alabama, a team that was the most picked team, the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament to win the title. And I think that there's certainly intrigue in that game. I'm going to table the betting talk for our Take It to the Bank a little bit later because I do want to dive into that UConn and Miami matchup. But I do want to talk about this as well. When's the last time we've had a mid-major ever win the NCAA title? You could consider UNLV a mid-major at the time. They came out of the Mountain West Conference, same conference as San Diego State. They won in 1990, 103-73 over Duke. And I do want to give a shout-out to my Ball State Cardinals because in the Sweet 16, they lost to UNLV just by a couple of points in the smallest margin of a game UNLV lost all tournament long. They went on to dominate the rest of the way, dominated the Elite Eight, Final Four, whatever it might be. Or rather, that game was in the Elite Eight. Ball State won the Sweet 16, got to the Sweet 16. And last time the Cardinals have been that far in the NCAA tournament, and you think about they would have beaten UNLV. I think my Ball State Cardinals might have an NCAA championship. We might be talking about Ball State as the last team to win as a mid-major. But that's not here or there. Just have to include Ball State chatter on the morning show. You're never going to get a Ball State alum to not talk about Indiana basketball in some capacity and talk about Ball State basketball or just Ball State in general. So there is the conversation for the men's Final Four. You look at two mid-majors in FAU, San Diego State, and you look at UConn. They've dominated teams. They've won every single game so far up to this point by 15 points or more. That's the first time a team has done that ever in the NCAA tournament. Miami, they looked dead in the water versus Texas. They come away with a big win. And I just want to talk about how little the margins are for error in the NCAA tournament. Drake should have beaten Miami in game one. That should have been a 12 versus 5 upset. It was not. Drake led, looked like the better team for the better part of the game. They didn't. Miami since then has gone on an absolute tear. Isaiah Wong has been really, really good. Nigel Pack, a lot of K-State fans know that name. Coming out of Indianapolis, Indiana, he's been fantastic. And I just, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be awesome to see Miami versus UConn. Winner going to the NCAA tournament and probably going to be the odds-on favorite to win the NCAA tournament in a championship matchup versus FAU or San Diego State University. For my sake, I just want to have fun, and I want to see FAU make the NCAA championship. So I'm going to take FAU in Game 1, and we're going to roll with Miami in Game 2. I know, surprising a lot of people. I'm going to tell you why just a little bit later on when we take it to the bank here a little bit later on in our show. So that is our NCAA basketball talk. We're actually going to take our next break here on the morning roundup. We're just finishing out our hour of sports coverage in Southwest Kansas. When we come back, we take a look at our area schedule, get you prepped for the weekend as far as programming, and then we will take it to the bank, try to make you some money, put some money in your pocket for this weekend. Maybe. We'll try. Try my best. We'll come back here in a little bit. You're listening to the morning roundup right here on 99.9 The Rock.